It's game day. Happy Friday to you. Game 2, Oilers Flames coming up later tonight. 8:30 start. Well, 8:50 puck drop. So be sure to pace yourself today. You know, if you're enjoying the beers of the week or something like that, you don't want to be going a little too hard before the game gets going. Matthew Wanick, Jeff Walker with you here. Lots to get to on the show today, most notably around the Oilers and Flames game 2. Tyler Remchuk is going to join us in about 15 minutes time from Daily Faceoff Oilers Nation. Tom Gazzola from the Saddle Dome will join us at 1 o'clock. James Duthie of TSN will talk Oilers, Flames, and some other sports with him at 1:20. As the Edmonton Oilers are on the ice right now at the Saddle Dome, they'll have the media avail afterwards. And we've already got some news from TSN's Ryan Rashog. A couple of these tweets happening in that commercial break between Tide Show and the start of this one. From Ryan Rashog, Holloway on the bench skating with the main group this morning. He also adds Jesse Puljujärvi in top six white, Kyler Yamamoto in a bottom six gray, while Malone also with the main group. So we'll have to see and keep following the reports and updates to see what's going on with the Edmonton Oilers. But right there, Dylan Holloway is skating with the main group. Don't know about the jersey or anything like that, what color. But based on this morning's skate, looks like Jesse Puljujärvi going to the top six while Kyler Yamamoto going to the bottom six. That said, what we learned late in that LA Kings series for the Edmonton Oilers is that Jay Woodcroft doesn't have a problem doing different things in warmups than what he's going to do later that night in the game. So there's no guarantee that this is how things are going to play out. But as we look at it right now, there's the potential Jesse Puljujärvi is going to go to the top six, Kyler Yamamoto in the bottom six. Jeff, as you hear that live initially, just your thoughts, and more so, if you were Jay Woodcroft, based on what you saw on Wednesday night, are you making lineup changes for the Oilers going into game 2 tonight?
That's a good question. I don't know if I would have pulled Yamo down to the bottom six. I thought he's been having a pretty good... Well, you know, nobody really had a good night in game 1. Let's just be real there.
Outside of 97, right?
So, you know, like I can see why they're making changes. I do like Yamamoto in the top six. Jesse Puljujärvi, I still have time for him. Like, he hasn't had a great playoff so far, but things he does away from the puck are still pretty good. So I'm okay with him still being in the lineup. Top six role, he needs to bring the offense, Matt. He really does. If you're going to be in the top six, then you have to bring the offense. And if you're not going to do that, then you're going to have to go back to the bottom six. I think the most interesting thing there that you said, though, was Dylan Holloway. And I say that because I don't think I expected him to be, you know, and I don't think they said that he's going to be in the lineup, but I don't think I expected him to be playing with the Oilers in this series. So that one kind of surprises me a little bit, but They need to find something. They need a spark. So maybe that's what it's going to be. But what do you think?
I wouldn't have made too many lineup changes. In fact, the only lineup change, the two lineup changes I maybe potentially would have looked at would have been, I almost would have taken Jesse out of the lineup to a degree and tried Warren Fogle. I don't mind getting Warren Fogle in the lineup because he played 82 games with the Edmonton Oilers this past season. And then he got pulled in the series against the Kings and haven't seen the ice again. I feel like he could be a guy that maybe is hungry and, you know, knows that the next time he's back in the lineup, he's fighting for his spot to stay in the lineup in the playoffs. And maybe there's a benefit there. Maybe you try to find Nima Leinen to draw in on the blue line just to bring that little extra toughness and grit to the team. But for the most part, I do look at that game and if I was a coach, almost want to throw it away. And, you know, how much did getting down two goals in the first less than a minute into that game, I think it was 51 seconds into the game, did it mess with the team where maybe in their minds, you know, we've talked about the slow starts. Jeff, before the game on Wednesday, I said, what's the key to the series for the Oilers taking goaltending aside? You said start being there and starting on time. And I wonder if giving up those two goals early in the minds of the Oilers, they went, oh, boy. Here's that slow start again. And it messed with them for a while. We're on that third goal, you know, Nugent Hopkins with a turnover that ultimately led to that third goal. I wonder if that was impacting them. And did the rest of the game just get thrown into chaos because it was just such a terrible start to the game? That if they go out and don't have that poor start, don't let in that first goal that quickly, even. Like, even if you're letting the first goal, letting it be, you know, 15 minutes into the first or something, the Oilers would have maybe potentially had a better result. Also, the fact that the Oilers did come down from 3-0 and 6-2 down to tie that hockey game. Like, there were some things in there where you could look at and go, okay, maybe the Oilers, there's something to this for this team moving forward that I don't know if I personally would have made full changes to the lineup. Like, bringing, like, Brad Malone might be in too. I don't know if I'd make a lot of wholesale changes in terms of the pairings and how you're going to deploy the forward lines. Yeah, I guess you're going to look at some of those changes. But we'll have to see what comes out when it comes to the lines, if they're even doing any sort of line rushes. And if we get any of those lines, we will pass them along to you. But Tom Gazzola from the Saddle Dome, he will join us at 1 o'clock to go through everything the Oilers players say, everything Jay Woodcroft says, as well as what happened at the morning skate. We did have a text coming in at 10-12-60 asking about Chris Tanev. What I could tell you on Chris Tanev, according to Pat Steinberg with Radio Fan 960 down in Calgary, he did say that Tanev took the morning skate before Game 2 today. So based on that, kind of looking good that he will get back in the lineup. A lot of people were surprised he didn't end up playing in Game 1. He was practicing with the team before Game 1, but all of a sudden, he wasn't there for Game 1. People thought he was looking good in the practices. So with him taking morning skate, I think that's maybe a good indication for the Flames that he's going to be back in. But as we saw against the LA Kings with Jay Woodcroft, as we saw with Tanev, we don't know officially until the lineup sheet will come out before the game that gets going. Don Wheaton and GMO White. Pre-game show with Tom Gazzola, Connor Halley, Matt Cass. They'll get you set for that game. 6:30 today. They'll be on there for a two-hour edition. Between the Jason Greger show and the Don Wheaton GMO White pregame show, I'll be on with a pregame show to get you set for the pregame show, which will get you set for Oilers and Flames. And then after that, Jeff's back with Tommy for the postgame show.
Well, I'm really curious to see what you're going to do for your pregame show. Do you have that all planned out already?
There are people, you know, for people that haven't tuned into the station all day, they will be hearing some conversations that have happened on the station, and we'll get people set for that game. Don't want to take anything away from our pregame show.
Oh,
so
no,
like when
no,
it comes to audio,
not.
Like the audio from the skate, that will come up on the pregame show. I have the pregame show.
Yeah, and I don't want you to spill what's going to happen on the pregame show either, right? We want to keep that fresh and surprising as well. I'm just curious as what you're going to have on there.
I have ideas.
All right.
I have some ideas. There's no question about that. I want to get into the inbox. James H. Brown inbox 10-12-60 from James H. Brown. Albert Injury Lawyers. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. One texter though saying, Matthew, I didn't get your pace yourself advice in time. I'm crushing beers in the parking lot at lunch. Yes, I'm working this afternoon. Just mix in some waters then. If we're already into the drinks, just mix in some waters and you'll be okay. You'll be ready to go for later.
What's the magic ratio for beers?
Is it 1-1?
No, come on. Who does that? Then you're just filling up on water at that point in time.
Yeah, but it's also then all going to get everything out of you. You'll just have to be...
Are you wanting everything out of you? Like,
you'll be going to the washroom. Well, you don't want it all in you before game time. You want to be ready to go for 8:50. It's going to be a long... It's a marathon today, not a sprint.
Haul. That's a long haul.
It's
sure.
A marathon.
Yeah, okay.
The only other thing that works out here is maybe you go down early, like at 2 o'clock for a nice long nap. And you wake up and you're ready to go.
Oh, I think you're all in now. If you started now, you're all in now. That's what I think.
So then steal it from Gazzola, hashtag mix in water. You know, mix in a water or two.
Yeah, I'd say it's like 4 beer to 1 water.
No, that's way too bad. At worst, it's got to be 2-1. 2-1.
All right.
Tyler the Banker says, I thought that was Yes's best game since game 1 or 2 against LA, so wouldn't mind seeing him get a few more minutes. Zach Hyman played well, this texture says. And that's the weird part about the game on Wednesday. Scores 2 goals, and we're not talking about Zach Hyman after the game for obvious reasons with just how that game fully played out. But Zach Hyman really did come out and produce for the Edmonton Oilers on Wednesday. So hopefully, for the Oilers' sake, they could keep having that continue in his play because that texter 100%, he's playing well, and he did play well on Wednesday. You're going to need more from that from him moving forward if the Oilers are going to want to tie this series up.
Well, and we need the Oilers to win the next 4 straight because I did call the Oilers in 5, Matt. So, like, they need to really come out here and help a guy out.
Do it for Jeff.
Do it for Jeff.
Win it for
right?
Jeff.
4 straight here.
He was called a homer by many. People came at him on Wednesday because he believed in this team. So this team needs to come out and respond for you, Jeff. Lines seem weird. Maybe a smoke screen again from Woody, this texter says. And that's the part that I want to sit here and go, yeah, this is exactly what we're going to see. And we will talk about it. Like, obviously, there's nothing else. Like, what we see is what we're going to discuss for the next X number of hours here on the station. But we all know that come game time, you know, around 8:30 or whatever, when that lineup card gets posted on the website, things could change mightily. And what we're looking at come 8:50 could be very different. But right now, as I said, Ryan Rashog from TSN saying, from the saddle, don't pull your RV. Top six white, Yamamoto, bottom six gray, Malone with the main group, Dylan Holloway with the main group. Yeah, we will. We'll keep discussing the Oilers throughout this the show. Also, one thing, Jeff had it in a SportsCenter update. FIFA June 16th, they're going to announce their host cities for 2026 World Cup. There's only three bidding in Canada: Edmonton, Vancouver, Toronto. Initially, there's only supposed to be three cities. So right there, that looks good for all three cities hosting World Cup. But there were conditions on the Edmonton host candidacy from the province of Alberta. We'll see if that impacts anything. June 16th. We will find out. Speaking of soccer, Gabriel Bittar, FC Edmonton forward. He'll be by at 1:40. FC Edmonton on Sunday. Like, this is a perfect doubleheader in our city. It's going to be a beautiful day. I think 17 degrees, mix of sun and cloud. 2 o'clock, Atletico Ottawa's in town to take on the Eddies. Oilers play at 6 o'clock. 2 o'clock, be at Clark. Go downtown, get a bite. Then go join, either stay at that establishment for the Oiler game at 6 o'clock or head to the plaza in the Moss Pit. Unless you have tickets to the Oilers game, then get inside Rogers Place for the game. A perfect day for a doubleheader of sports action here in the city. We'll talk some Eddies with Gabriel Bittar at 1:40. But as I said, lots of Oilers talk as it is game two. Oilers Flames on this show. We will get into your text, your thoughts on what we've said so far from Oilers lines. Any other updates with Morning Skate, we will pass them along to you. But Tyler Emchick, daily face of Oilers Nation, he will join us next here on the Dave Jamieson Show. Mattawanek, Jeff Walker with you here on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. 1220 here in Edmonton. This is the Dave Jamieson Show. Mattawanek, Jeff Walker with you here. Oilers Flames game two tonight. 8:50 puck drop it down at the Saddle Dome in Calgary. Don Wheaton, Jim Away pregame show with Tom Zola, Connor Halley, get going at 6:30 to get you set for that game. We will get to Tyler Emchick right away here and some updates on Oilers practice. But the news and note from the National Hockey League, Rick Bowness announcing he's stepping away as the head coach of the Dallas Stars. Jim Neal, their GM, also announcing that assistant coach John Stevens, Derek Laxtal, formerly head coach of the Edmonton Oil Kings, and Todd Nelson, formerly interim coach of the Edmonton Oilers and with OKC Barons. They will all not return next season as well. So complete changes coming to the bench in Dallas. Jeff, we mentioned a couple of notes when it came to the lineups, but Rashog has full lineups for the Oilers as they skated at Morning Skate.
Yeah, so he's got Connor between Kane and Devin Shore. Now Shore's there in place of Leon. RNH between Hyman and Puljujarvi. Fogel, McLeod, and Yamamoto's your third line. Archibald, Ryan, and Cassian's on the fourth line. Nurse, CC, Keith Bouchard, Kulak, and Broberg. And the one missing is Barry. And Barry, there's some reports that he's not feeling well. So those are your lines.
Tyler Emchick of Daily Face of Oilers Nation with us now. And Tyler, just immediately, your thoughts on those lines. Do you think this is just a bit of misdirection that we're seeing from Jay Woodcroft or something we're going to see later tonight?
Well, it may be a little bit of that. I mean, I was looking back at last game. Like, Jay Woodcroft really isn't seemingly running with any sort of consistent lineup right now. In game one against the Flames, the Oilers had 14 different combinations of three players. So 14 different line combinations play at least a minute together at 5-on-5. So the blender was out in full effect. Not surprising to see him kind of going this route here and jumbling up the lines a bit at skate. It's maybe not what I would have done. I don't think Yamamoto deserves to be down in the bottom or on the third line. I thought he had a good game. He scored. I think McDavid, Draisaitl, and Yamamoto works well together because Yamamoto, he's hard on the forecheck, and that almost makes up for the fact that Draisaitl isn't moving very well. I do love that they're finally putting Nugent Hopkins with some skill. That Nugent Hopkins, Derek Ryan, Archibald trio just simply can't be together anymore. They can't keep up. They couldn't keep up with the Flames. They could barely keep up with the Kings. And I love that Nugent Hopkins and Hyman are going to play together. I wrote about it a little bit today at Oilers Nation. That duo actually is really good numbers together. And I think that could maybe spark some offense from Nugent Hopkins, which they really, really need. When Nugent Hopkins and Hyman have played together 5-on-5 in the playoffs, they're outscoring the opposition 3-1. That's good. The only question I have here is, are they going to take out one of Archibald or Cassian and then go with 11-7, or are they running 12-6?
Well, Rashog thinks that this is indicating 12-6. But, you know, again, with what we've seen from Jay Woodcroft, you know, in the LA Kings series, everything could be completely changed by later tonight. Mm-hmm. If you had to take one, would you look at taking out Archibald or Cassian? Like, when I look at Zach Cassian's game on Wednesday, you just have to look at the fact that, you know, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and I think Connor McDavid were both asked which player from this current team would work well in the Battle of Alberta back in the 80s, and they both said Zach Cassian. He goes out there and he gets zero hits.
And he played a lot. Like, he played 11:33 at 5-on-5, which is more than Russell, Archibald, Ryan, Jordy, McLeod, and Yamamoto. And when he was on the ice, they got outshot 7-2. Like, I can handle having one of Archibald or Cassian in the lineup. You know, they're going to get caved. They need to be able to bring that physicality. And they just, neither of them really brought any sort of physicality. So for me, I think you can justify taking one of them out of the lineup and go with 11-7 again. It's just, you don't need both those guys if they're both not going to be consistently engaged. And I take one of them out, go 11-7. Darnell Nurse is hurt. I wouldn't have Darnell Nurse on the top pairing anymore. I'd be running Kulak and CeCe as the top pair, run them as a shutdown duo. I'd be running Nurse with Barry as a mainly offensive duo as well. And I think you need to make life easier on Darnell Nurse because he's laboring. Frank Saravalli reporting it could be a core muscle issue that'll need surgery in the offseason. So I think you need to make life easier on Nurse. And by going 11-7, you would do that. I think 12-6 might be a mistake tonight, honestly.
With Tyler Emchuk, Daily Faceoff, Oilers Nation. Obviously, the start on Wednesday is the big talk. You know, this is an Oilers team that, I think you could probably look 5 of the 7 games against the LA Kings. They didn't get off to good starts. Once again, to start this series, they get off to a poor start. Is there anything the coaching staff could do to get these players motivated or going to start a game? You know, because I believe that personally, it does come down to the players, but how do you get these players going and ready to go if they're not wanting to do it or seemingly can't do it right now and get themselves motivated? Is there anything else that could be done by Jay Woodcroft?
No, there's nothing. Like, it's on the guys in the room. I hate this, like, and I know you're not saying it right now. You're going to agree with what I say. It's not on the coach to motivate NHL players. He does not need to come in with a rah-rah speech every game, or he shouldn't have to come in with a rah-rah speech every game to try get these guys to play hard from the 1959 mark of the first period. You know, like, you need to be getting out there ready to go, and it's on the players in the room. I'll even go ahead and say it's on some of the guys who have been in the playoffs before in this room. You know, if you're Duncan Keith, make sure these guys are ready to go. Make sure you're pushing the right buttons. I'll even say the leaders on this team, like McDavid and Draisaitl, they've been great. But what's going on in that room where they're consistently not ready to come out firing on all cylinders? I don't know. I don't even maybe know who to put the blame on. But it's just inexcusable that this team consistently in the playoffs comes out and is bad from the jump and is constantly playing catch-up. So they need to be better. That's going to be, you know, sort of checkbox number one tonight is, do you come out and have a good first couple of shifts and set the tone and force yourself on the Calgary Flames a little bit? That's huge.
When you look at the goaltending of this series, like, we know Mike Smith and Mikko Koskinen, what they can do, and they didn't have a great game one, but neither did Jacob Markstrom. Do you look at this as maybe the Oilers have discovered a way to beat Markstrom, you know, especially maybe around the glove side, or is this a missed opportunity? This is the one bad game you might get Markstrom, and the Oilers didn't find a way to win that. How do you look at it when it comes to Markstrom?
Well, the interesting part is that a lot of the goals seem to go in kind of the same way, right? It was that glove side, a few of them right underneath the glove. So, you know, maybe they've figured out something on Jacob Markstrom, although I'm not 100% sold on that. Like, let's be real. This guy's a Vezina finalist for a reason. He had a tremendous season. If you're the Oilers, you're probably sitting in the room feeling pretty good because you scored 6 even strength goals against the Oilers. You're feeling good in regards that Markstrom's not scaring you. But I just don't think that game really has much of a bearing on what happened tonight. Markstrom could very easily come out and drop a 37-save shutout because he's that kind of goalie. In the last 3 seasons, though, he's appeared in 13 games against the Oilers. He has an .884 save percentage and a 3.41 goals against average. So I don't think he'll be as bad as he was last game. He could be great. But I think in all likelihood, if the Oilers play their game, they should be able to get 3 or 4 goals on this guy like they kind of consistently do.
With Tyler Emchuk talking Oilers-Flames game 2 later tonight, you will have a pregame show with Oilers Nation coming up at 1 o'clock hour, correct?
Yeah, and yep. We should have a pretty special guest joining us. I don't want to say who, because I don't want to jinx anything, but it should be a lot of fun.
There's the there's the producer in Tyler right there. I feel that same way usually when I'm booking guests. Tyler Remchick, Daily Face of Oilers Nation. What else did you see in game one from this Oilers team that they need to improve on going into tonight to find a way to get the victory?
Oh, they got to score at the power play. I mean, that game could have actually changed in their favor a few times when you look at the man advantage and when they were getting power plays, right? Not even like if they score, they weren't even getting momentum or chances. Like they barely got set up with the man advantage. And you look at the moments when the power plays came, even in the third period, right? That 4:44 mark when Tkachuk goes off with the extra roughing or Shillington who got the holding. And you're like, all right, here's your chance to get that one right back. And you don't. And then at the 10:45 mark of the third, delay a game penalty. And you don't get back on the board. Like, they just missed so many chances at really, really good points in the hockey game where their power play could have came through for them. And it didn't. And they need to fix that tonight. This Oilers team, it's not as deep as the Calgary Flames up front. But where they can separate themselves and where they can win games is by letting their skill guys make a difference. And the best time to do that is on the power play. So the Oilers absolutely cannot afford to go 0-for with the man advantage, whether you get one chance, two chance, three chance, four chances. I don't care. You need to find a way to score tonight.
And this coming from Rashog, sounds like Barry will be available tonight, just under the weather and conserving energy. For this game tonight, how important is this victory? Like, and that's such a, you know, you always need these victories in the playoffs. But if they go down 0-2, do you think the Oilers could come back and still win this series? Or going down 0-2, do you feel like, okay, this is going to be the Flames moving on to the conference finals? How important is this game for the potential of the Oilers winning the series?
It's huge because then, you know, by winning one of the first two games on the road, you sort of put yourself in the driver's seat, right? But I will always say, because I don't want to be changing my tune if they do go down 0-2, you are never in trouble until you lose at home ice, lose on home ice, right? Even if you lose this game, you just got to come and take care of business on home ice, and it'll be 2-2. Because you can put yourself in the driver's seat. Going down 0-2, that basically puts your back right up against the wall for the rest of the series. But you are never truly in trouble until you game off home ice. I will never stop saying that, whether the series involves the Oilers or it doesn't. You're never in trouble until you lose on home ice. That being said, you can put the Flames in trouble tonight if you beat them on their home ice.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, I said it on Wednesday before the game. I could see this series in the first four games, home teams winning all four games. Calgary going up 2-0, Edmonton going up, you know, winning the next two games to tie it at 2, partly because of the crowd in this. You know the Saddle Dome's rocking for Calgary. And then when they come back to Rogers Place, you know Rogers Place and Moss Pit and everything, it's going to be rocking. The players are going to feel it. That just even that little element, it's going to be tough to have to go win four of the next five games, but I don't think it's impossible for the Edmonton Oilers.
Here's the other thing with the crowd tonight. This is maybe a little off topic, but an 850 puck drop on a Friday of a long, a lot of people are getting worked already. It is to be both in Calgary, both at whatever bar you go to here in Edmonton, or if you're at the Moss Pit or in the arena, or maybe at the Pint on White where I'll be partying. So I snuck that plug in there. it's going to be a lubricated crowd. It's going to be a lubricated province tonight, Matthew. It's going to be a rowdy one.
Well, and I started the show today by saying everyone pace yourself today. Like, don't get into this. If you're getting the beer of the week from our morning show early today, don't start going. One person said he's in his parking lot at lunch, you know, having his beers before he goes back to work. And now I'm saying mix in waters. And then we got into this. What's the ratio of mixing in waters with your drinks? I felt like 2-1. Jeff's going 4 beers to 1 water. What do you think is the mix of waters to get ready for 850 tonight of liquor versus the waters?
I think before puck drop, you've got to be rocking the 1-1 ratio. I'm sorry if that makes me sound soft. You need to be – like, what if this game goes to OT, folks? You want to be, what, blackout drunk by the time OT starts? No way. You got to keep it on a tight pitch count early. That's my official Yaremcha drinking advice for tonight. Tight pitch count early, and then maybe you're rocking, like, one – we like to go by the metric of BPP, Shirt Oilers Nation, Matt, beers per period. Keep it at like a 1.5 BPP through the game. And then if they win, party hard.
Or if they lose, you're going to drink your sorrows away and drink hard. And you put those sorrows away. I went 1-1 and everyone was at me against me. So I moved it to 2-1. I like the way you think there, Yaremchuk. Mm-hmm. Enjoy the game tonight. Enjoy the pregame show. Hopefully you get that big surprise guest coming up just after 1 o'clock, which people could get at on Twitter, Oilers Nation, your Twitter account, Tyler Yaremchuk.
Yep.
And enjoy the game tonight and your watch party.
You too, and I'm excited for next week when we'll get to speak to Mr. Dave Jameson on the radio.
I don't know if he'll be next week or not. He's back in the building on Tuesday, but we got conditioning. You know, it's a load management, Kawhi Leonard type thing. We're going to slowly work him into this, you know, when he comes to the main team, maybe third line minutes, and then eventually, you know, 2 weeks maybe, 2 weeks.
All right. Sounds good, Matty. Enjoy the game tonight. See you, man.
Have a good one. There's Tyler Remchuk, a Daily Faceoff, Oilers Nation. A few texts were coming in. If they're light beers, it could be 5-1. Somebody, that's way too much water. Best 4-1. While Pete F., who self-proclaimed the experienced drinker, drinking marathon tips, go get some of those electrolyte tablets, mix those into the waters between the beers. That sounds very veteran. 2-1, you're not a man. Drink highballs with ice, constant water, LOL. Man up, Goyle. I agree with it. This could go a long time tonight. If there is overtime. If we do get to, let's say, double overtime, when would that be? If it's an 8:50 start, we're looking about 11 o'clock game time end. So if it's not, we're looking at, the game's going to go till close to 1. If you're starting now, you got, I think going 4-1, you're not going to be there for the end of the game. But a lot more people are more experienced at this than I am. And Yaremchuk's younger than I, so I guess maybe I have to listen to you, Jeff, and everyone else. Pete F., that's an interesting one. Mix the electrolyte tablets into the waters. That might be the way to go. There's a lot of text coming in on the Edmonton Oilers. Not on the drinking part, but on the Edmonton Oilers. Jeff did read the lines that we see at the morning skate. Is that what we're going to see tonight? I guess only time will tell. But a lot of you have thoughts. A lot of you have opinions on this. We're going to get to that next year on the Dave Jamieson Show. 1 o'clock, Tom Gazzola of the Don Wheaton GMOA pre- and post-game shows. He's at the Saddle Dome. He will join us to tell us what the players are saying, what the coach, Jay Woodcroft, saying, and to get his thoughts on these lines. Lots of coverage of Game 2 coming up later tonight here on the Dave Jamieson Show. I'm Matt Iwanek. He's Jeff Walker. This is Edmonton Sports Theatre, TSN 1260. 1240, welcome back to the Dave Jamieson Show on this Funk Friday. Matt Iwanek, Jeff Walker with here. 8 degrees in Edmonton, looking for a high 11. The long weekend all looks beautiful. Tomorrow, mix of sun and cloud, 13. Sunday, sunny and 18. 2 o'clock, Eddies are taking on Athletico Ottawa out at Clark. And then the Oilers play at 6 o'clock Monday. We are off on TSN 1264 Victoria Day. It is sunny, 18 degrees. I think I'm going to have to go head out to the driving range and get swinging the clubs because I haven't swung the clubs a single time so far this year. So maybe Monday with that weather. Give me something to do before we get ready for Game 4 on the Tuesday. But we got Game 2 tonight, Oilers, Flames, Don Wheaton, GMO White pregame show, Tom Gazzola, Connor Halley coming up at 6:30 tonight. I'm coming up at 6 o'clock for a little pregame show between the Gregor show and our pregame show. Jeff's back with Tommy after the game for the postgame show, and then Gregor from 2 until 6. He's going to have you covered with Battle of Alberta talk. Tom Gazzola is going to join us at 1 o'clock from the Saddle Dome. 120, James Duthie of TSN, 140. Gabriel Bittar of FC Edmonton will stop by. I want to get into the James H. Brown inbox, 10, 12, 60. Your thoughts on this game. Before I do that, though, Evander Kane had this to say. If we don't give up 9 goals tonight, I really like our chances. To a degree, I would like to agree. Although, if you don't give up 9, that can mean 8. And that could be a little tough to do as well, to win that game. But the last 2 meetings against the Calgary Flames in Calgary, the Oilers have given up 9 goals in each of those games. It's going to be tough, I think, for the Flames to do 9 for a third straight time, but who knows? That's why we play these games. Let's get in the inbox. 10 to 12, 60. Jag says, did you want to say something?
Oh, I was just going to say, how crucial is the first minute of the hockey game tonight?
Right? I'll go about 5 minutes.
I'll say the first minute. The first 5 for sure, but the first minute, you got to get out of that. And you got to get out there. You know, if you can keep Calgary in their end for that first minute, I think you've already started out really well. But if Calgary comes after you, you have to be prepared for that. I can't stress this enough. I'm sure you're going to ask me eventually anyway. But, you have to come out hard for this game, Matt. You have to.
Well, it's
nothing else is going to be acceptable.
One of the things you say about starts, anyone would say, is hey, go do something in that first shift to get some momentum or something, get a hit, go, you know, get at the offensive zone. But you got to go make some impactful play to get going. The problem was last game, what was 20 seconds in they scored?
Yeah, 20 seconds in.
The Oilers didn't even have a chance to go really make that hit. And that's where it's going to come down to. I think if you're going to say that first minute, I don't think it's as much on the team. It's going to be on Mike Smith. Make sure that puck does not go in the back of your net in that first minute, because if it does, it's going to deflate everyone, the entire team. Allow your team the ability to go and lay that one hit or do that small little thing that they need to get going. But okay, I'll ask you this. And, you know, 5 out of 7 games against the Kings, they didn't really get that start going. Game one against the Flames, they didn't get that start going. If I had to ask you, put a little bit of money down, are they going to have that good start tonight? Where are you going? It's easy to say
to say that the Oilers are going to do that. That's what we've been saying for the entire season, right? It's not just the playoffs. It's just magnified because it's in the playoffs. But the Oilers have gotten off the bad start. Not even just like the start of the game, like the start of periods as well. They don't always come out. 45 seconds into the second period, Calgary got that goal. Like, you can't have that. You have to be ready to go when the puck starts. And I was saying it on the post game show, and I actually, you know, like, I don't get, angry and stuff very often, but I was saying it. This is the Battle of Alberta. The entire hockey world is excited for this series. And you can't get up for that. You can't be ready to go when the puck drops. Everybody in the country was ready to go. Even if you weren't a Flames or an Oilers fan, you were ready to go to watch this game start, and the players can't be ready for that? It blew my mind. It blew my mind. So here you are. It's a reset. Game number 2. It's the Battle of Alberta. The entire hockey world is excited to see what's going to happen in this game tonight. Is it possible for them to come out flat again? I'd have to hope not, right?
But if I had a guess, I would lean more to that it wouldn't be a good start to it would be a good start, because
that's what we've seen.
Twice they didn't do it, you know, they didn't get those starts in those other games. Jag texting, JP is a marshmallow, get some toughness. Rally off a few texts under James H. Brennan, Box 10-12-60 here. James, why would Yamamoto be down in the bottom six? Honestly, the Bison King needs to sit a game. He's been horrible. Put Fogel in. Pool Party will be the one to get moved in the offseason. Pool Party needs to hit people. Sean texting says, I'd like to see Nurse and Draisaitl sit for at least the game. I know that Leon has contributed in the faceoff dot and scoring goals, but defensively, neither are going to be effective right now. The one thing I'll say to Sean there, you know, and I'm going to have to quickly pull up Frank Saravalli's report, because Yaremchuk said it there, of what Frank Saravalli of Daily Faceoff had on Darnell Nurse. Just trying to see if I can quickly see it on his Twitter.
Are you talking about the injury? What's
the injury that he was saying?
It was a core injury.
That would require potential surgery. Yeah. So, core muscle injury. Here's the thing. If you sit Leon and Nurse for one game, they're not going to get better. Like, if you think that they need to sit because they're not producing, and or like they need time, they're not getting healthy the rest of this playoffs. They're not going to be healthy now until next season. So it's your choices are you play them at whatever percent you get from them right now, or you don't play them at all. And with where the Oilers are in terms of depth of this team and everywhere, and those who those two players are, you have to play them. There's no point in sitting them. Now, to Yaremchuk's point that he said in the last segment, maybe when it comes to Darnell Nurse, you take him off the top pairing. If he's hurt, if he can't play up to the level that you need from Darnell Nurse, put someone else in those top minutes and lighten his load to a degree, and maybe you get more from Darnell Nurse or better play from Darnell Nurse, because you're asking him to do less. But in terms of actually sitting them for at least the game, that's not going to help them. It's either they sit for the rest of the playoffs because they're hurt, or you play them the way that they are. But one game off or two games off, it's not going to help their recovery, just based on what the injuries are. It's not like we're talking, like, Leon looked also sick in that first series. It's not like you're talking about getting over an illness and, yeah, wait a couple days, get some rest, and you're good to go. These ones are like a high ankle sprain. That takes a long time to recover. That takes weeks, not months, to a degree. And some people don't even actually ever fully recover from things like that. What's wrong with Barry? Rashog says feeling under the weather and just conserving energy, but he will be available for tonight. A loss is a loss. Doesn't matter the score. We wouldn't be talking right now if it was a 3-2 game. Yeah, no, anger would still be there if it was a loss. But to your point, I will say the loss is a loss. It doesn't matter how much you lose by. The Oilers losing 9-6, if they ultimately lost 6-1 in that game, it only registers as one loss. It's not points. It's nothing like that. It's just one loss. It's kind of like golf when you're taking on a buddy or something and you play match play. Like, it's one hole's one hole. It doesn't matter. However you lost that game doesn't impact your next game. So that's the one way the Oilers do need to look at that. While you did lose 9-6, it's one loss. The game doesn't matter anymore. It's a brand new 60-minute game you're going in tonight. Don't be swayed by the comeback attempt. They played like dogs down to a man. Frankly, if Markstrom has any more games like that and we don't win, we have no chance this series. Continue with the text. You can't.
To jump in there, too, I think that was the most disappointing thing about that game one as well, is that the Oilers did come back. They tied it up 6-6 in the third period. And then instead of, you know, using that momentum to bring the game home or, you know, to get the next goal, they gave up another goal about a minute and a half after that. And that was the end of the game for the Edmonton Oilers. So, like, well, I'm kind of with that texture. You can't really, you know, pump their tires for making that comeback, because as soon as they made the comeback, it was, they were in the same position as they started the game at, pretty much. So, like, there was just so much that happened in game one that, you know, is disappointing. And you said it right there as well, though, that it is one game. You're not going to look at the score. It's one loss. The Oilers have a chance to go out tonight, tie the series, and bring that back to Edmonton. And that's what they need to do tonight. I want to see them get that split in Calgary. If they don't, it's not the end of the world. But, you know, it's going to be tough being down two games to Calgary with five left.
The one thing I hope to see better from the Edmonton Oilers tonight is, we talked about it on Wednesday, the Flames are going to try to goat you into things. They're going to try to goat you to get involved in the extracurricular activity and potentially take penalties or get your game off of focusing on the game, but focusing on retribution or going after a Flame player. And the benefit for the Oilers is actually, it will be to skate away. Like, I can't remember who scored the goal. It might have been McDavid. But there was a goal scored on Wednesday, and immediately Zach Kassian took a penalty right on and the goal celebration, right? Power play for the Flames, and what happened on the power play? They scored a goal. It wasn't a situation where, like, a shot was taken at McDavid, if I'm not mistaken, on that play. If it's a dirty play, if it's completely just offside, I understand sticking up for your teammate. But the Calgary Flames are going to do certain things to try to get you to react or retaliate and get you off your game. And we saw the Oilers fall into that trap, I think, a little too much on Wednesday. I think Kane with Tkachuk when they had the coincidental minors. You know, now both go off in the end. But, you know, if you're looking at with this series and toughness, Matt Tkachuk going off, as good of a player he is, him taking Evander Kane off, that's a win for the Calgary Flames, I would believe. Don't get fully involved. If there's some dirty play, yes, again, I will say, I understand defending your teammate. But for the most part, the Oilers will benefit this series by skating away, by not reacting, by not getting involved. But on Wednesday, they got involved. They reacted. And it played into the Flames' hand. And they took the advantage. And just to that Zach Kassian play I'll mention, you negated the goal you just scored because you gave them a power play and they ultimately went unscored. Now, I know butterfly effect, things wouldn't have played out the exactly same way, but imagine if you didn't take that penalty, the Flames don't score that goal, and maybe in the third period, you score a goal and you're actually leading that hockey game, and we're talking about an Oilers winning game one. The Oilers need to be better tonight at controlling their emotions and not getting involved with the little things that the Flames want them to. That's the Flames game here. They're trying to get under the skin of the Oilers because that's how they know they could beat this team. The Oilers, be better with that. Skate away. Don't get involved. And you actually hold the hand in this game. You actually will be the better team. And you control the game at that point. So that's one thing I do hope to see from the Edmonton Oilers in game two later tonight. You can't take Kassian out against the Flames. Every time we've played the Flames without Kassian, Tkachuk turns into a loose cannon. Kassian on the ice keeps Tkachuk in check a little bit. I will counter with that, though, is that you have Evander Kane now, though. Could Evander Kane not be that guy that does help keep Tkachuk in check if that's the case? But I also will say this. This is playoff time, and Kachuk's very important to the Flames, and he will do his things, like I mentioned, even with Evander Kane, the coincidental minor, do some things. But he's not going to be skating around too much as a loose cannon in the playoffs. I just don't see that personally. Kassian didn't have a hit because he takes a penalty and gets in trouble. He can't play like himself. Flames would love if Archibald...
I don't know if I agree with that, right? Like, you can hit clean, right? The officials aren't going to just say, well, Cassian, you're in the penalty box all the time. Cassian's got to go out. He's got to play the game that he plays well, and he's got to do that within the rules of the game. If he does that, then he's going to be a big part of the Oilers, whatever they do in this series. But if he doesn't, if it's the same Zach Cassian that we saw in game one, I'm not sure why he's on the ice, to be honest with you. Cassian's supposed to bring energy. He's supposed to hit guys. He's supposed to take the body. He's supposed to soften up those defensemen. He did none of that in game number one. And I'm a guy, I like Zach Cassian. I've always been kind of a Zach Cassian fan. I like it when he gets a little crazy and goes out there and starts running over people. But if he's going to go out there and not take any hits but take a penalty, you know what? I'm sorry. You're not doing the team a service by doing that. So, like, he's got to go out and he's got to play that rough game. Take it right to the edge, but don't cross over that line.
I don't think it was talked about enough, but when Connor McDavid's your leader of hits after game one, like, good on Connor. Good on laying five hits. We shouldn't be talking about Connor being the leader in hits. And also then looking at Zach Cassian, Chris Russell, Darnell Nurse, Duncan Keith, Cody Ceci, Derek Ryan. I know Ryan McLeod and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins are part of this too, but I don't put them in that full level. It's just that's not their game. But the other guys I mentioned, zero hits.
What, did the entire defensive core have three hits the entire game?
Like,
I think it was just sad. Like, come on, it's the playoffs. It's the Battle of Alberta. Where is your energy? Where is your personal pride? The thing that gets stuck in my mind is, I forget who we had on the show that day, but they said that a lot of the Oilers were like, well, you know, we don't really take what happened in the old Battle of, we don't really take what happened in the old Battle of Alberta's, you know, like, too seriously, because that was like 30 years ago or whatnot. Well, maybe you should. Because the Battle of Alberta in the 80s, the Oilers were successful in those games. It's the energy that you should have when you're playing Calgary that you should bring out onto the ice. It should just be naturally there. And so I don't know if they should show them old tapes of the 80s or what before the game starts, but, like, read the room here. This is the Battle of Alberta. Go out there, play hard, hit guys. Win the series. That's what it is.
I'll take it even just one step less. Like, you're at another level with that. You're in the second round. You made it to the second round of the NHL playoffs. Shouldn't that be enough to get you going? Not even, let alone getting to the level of this being a provincial battle between Edmonton and Calgary? Like, shouldn't that even be just enough to get you going, hey, we're in the second round, and if we win this series, we're in the conference finals?
Yeah. I'm with
Let
you,
alone
right?
the, like, Battle of Alberta part to all of this.
I'm in shock with how they came out in game one. And, like, you know, your question is, like, the most difficult question that I've had to answer since I'm here at TSN is, like, how are we, like, can you count on this team to come out with a strong start tonight? And I don't think you can. I want to say you can. Like, there's no reason that this team shouldn't be fired up and ready to go before this game starts. But we've seen it so many times this year where they just kind of want to, we'll just kind of play this hockey game and it's all good. No, it's the second round of the playoffs. It's the Battle of Alberta. Be ready to go.
Game two later tonight, 8:50 puck drop is what we are expecting. Lots to get to in the second hour of the Dave Jamieson Show. Tom Gazzola live from the Saddle Dome, 120 James Duthie of TSN. We will get to your text in the James H. Brown inbox at 10:12:16. Gabriel Batar of FC Edmonton, he will join us at 1:40. We'll get to a Jeff Walker Sports Center update and then come back with the second hour of the Dave Jamieson Show. I am Matthew Wanick. This is Edmonton Sports Leader. You're tuned into TSN 1260.